We're looking at a story that is on the website, mentioned at the beginning of the show. A scientist, futurist in London, said that within really a couple hundred years, or several hundred years, but about the year 3000, he says the human race will have peaked, and then sometime after that, and the evolution would continue, that there would be two human races, essentially. One, an elite super race of intelligent, fair-skinned, tall people, maybe 7 or 8 feet tall, that will have a great life, will be very smart, and
they
live.
Dwarf goblins.
Yeah, and the dwarf goblins, let me come out of that too. But specifically, that the elite group may live to be 120 on average. I mean, that we're going to extend the life that long. How is that reflected through the lens you're thinking of for the Bilderberg group?
Well, Ian, I know you're a very busy man doing mornings in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and coast to coast on the weekends, but did you have a chance to watch all of Endgame?
Yes, I did.
Well, I'm very thankful for that, because I know I just got it to you on Friday.
Yep.
Because it just came out Friday, and I mailed it to you.
And it was very tempting, because I was watching Texas losing to Nebraska, and I went back to watch the rest of Endgame.
Well, I'm very thankful. Then you'll notice in the film, which was done, by the way, 2 months ago, we cover the species split. Did you see that?
Yeah, I just wanted you to, for people who didn't see it, go
sure, but I mean,
reflect
my point
on
is
that.
I'm not just going along
and
continuing my narrative. My film is about this. Okay. As you know, because I heard you talk about this in the first hour, the top scholar in England, the guy who won all the awards, he wrote a handful of science fiction books, and he's known for those, The Time Machine, War of the Worlds. But he also coined the term New World Order at the turn of the last century, 107 years ago in 1900. And then in the 30s, he wrote The New World Order. And he wrote more than 30 nonfiction full-length books. And, of course, he was H.G. Wells, what they call the father of modern science fiction. He was, you know, the court futurist. He was in all the scientific societies, and he was unabashedly a complete fire-breathing genius, but quite wicked at the same time. And he said, the New World Order, the film starts with this, the New World Order will come to power. We will exterminate a lot of people. It's going to happen. And he walks through exactly why they are going to do that. And he talked over 100 years ago, and then later he wrote it in The Time Machine, where you have the Morlock and the Eloi, about how there's going to be a super advanced elite, and that within the next 150 years we would split genetically. So when you see articles with some Johnny-come-lately saying we're going to split in 100,000 years, that's ridiculous. I agree with Kurzweil. By 2020, with the exponential growth of technology, we're going to be living in a completely different world. Things are already upside down with the technological developments we've had, and again, we've seen the tip of the iceberg. They're exponential. We're not going to wait even 20 years, 30 years, 40 years to see the types of changes, because the elite already see us as dwarf goblins. They already talk about us as cattle and scum that have to be exterminated, and that's also what I discovered. In the 20s, Wells and so many others wrote about how they would use diet and injections and the water supply with mercury. They also said radiation to dumb down the general public. Because the big dirty secret that I've discovered, I learned in college that eugenics was, quote, positive and negative eugenics. Positive eugenics is breeding the elite for better looks, better intelligence, longer life, more health. Negative eugenics is sterilizing women, killing babies, China's one-child policy that, by the way, our government totally funded and created, and that's all in the film, that's admitted. And I thought, okay, well, that's eugenics. No, that's the public face of eugenics, which is bad enough. When you actually read Bertrand Russell and all these other people and royal reports and all these other documents they put out going back between 100 years ago and even this year, the British Defense Report they just put out, the prospectus, you discover that eugenics is really a war against the middle class. The elites say, we are the guardians of the future. And because we know that there are intelligent people in the middle class that won't like our plan and aren't strong enough to kill everybody, who don't have the great morals we do, it's a great favor they say they're giving us to kill us, we have to dumb them down too with diet, injections, radiation. We have to do all of this so they can't threaten us and so they can't replace us and change our vision, because they may get in the way of our great work, as they call it. They must be dumbed down. And then in the film, we couldn't put the whole hour-long lecture. Months before he died, Aldous Huxley, author of the 1933 Brave New World, you read Brave New World, you learn they've suppressed a lot of technologies. He talked about that in his final speech at there in California and at the university. And he talks about how he didn't make up this stuff for the book. He goes ahead and admits that he's been a member of the elite, that they already had microchips in people's brains in 1960 in laboratories, in mental institutions, that the elite were planning to do all of this, the radiating of the embryos, the poisoning of the people to make them stupid, all of this. And he admitted that at UC Berkeley in 1962, just a few months before his death. And, of course, his brother was the founder of transhumanism and the head of the United Nations UNESCO arm.
Right. You know, I would differ with you on this one point about H.G. Wells, at least in hearing how you were presenting it. My feeling from H.G. Wells is he was very much against the way that he saw the future going, not a proponent of it. And he was actually, my feeling from it, and I've been sort of a Wells guy for a long time, was that as kind of a progressive guy in his own time, he saw this as a warning that this is what was going to be happening, not something that he wished was going to be happening.
Have you read The New World Order?
No, I haven't. So
See, I didn't know this either, Ian. And I don't know. I don't want to exaggerate.
I'd have to read that to believe it, though, because he's so clear in other places where even the warning about the Eloi and the Morlocks, that was so clearly something which he saw as not being a positive thing. He wasn't laying the groundwork for it, saying this is what will happen for some of us lucky people. He was saying this is a bad thing, that this was a future, this was a scary future. I'll grant you that he was a utopian. And then as the utopian trade-off is always kind of weird. There's always that, you know, that whole thing about unintended consequences with utopists. But I just happen to think he may have been a little bit more against it than that.